This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Yeah, I was joking about it, but now, like, when I say, yeah, give it time. I'm saying it facetiously. I'm saying it sarcastically. Like, we've given it enough time. Juan Soto doesn't look like the Juan Soto I watched last year. He doesn't look like the Juan Soto I've seen throughout his career. He looks like a guy that did everything he could to get to squeeze every single thing out of Steve Cohen, and he got it, right? For not just him, but his entire family. And that was his whole motive. Scott Boras and the Supreme Court of Soto, the team that signed Juan Soto, the generational Juan Soto, the centurion, they called him a centurion. They said whatever team signs Juan Soto is going to make billions over the decade and a half that they have the player. Well,
and you know what? You know what, Keith? I just want to make a point. You know, like, that to me, that gluttony of that contract is going to eat him up. And I said this early in the season when people were saying the Yanks not going to go anywhere, the pitching's bad. I said, no, bro, you have Judge. You have Judge, who is a leader. He is a captain, and he's an icon player, and he can take the heat. So can Alonso. Alonso can take the heat. And that's the thing, man. If you don't love yourself, like you said the other day about Shadar, if you're not going to be humble, you will be humbled. Guess what, Keith? You're right. Guess what? Yeah. Soto's getting humbled, right? He's getting humbled because he loves himself too much, man. And you know what? I just make this last comment, you know? It's not the smiling. It's the part of being part of the team and loving the team you're on. And I always said, we have Judge. The Yankees are good, and they can build around him. And one last thing. The guy in Toronto who's always playing like he's at the sandbox, at the sandlot. He's got a smile on his face. He goes to the All-Star game. He's got 50 guys patting him on the back. He got the best money. He got a guaranteed $300 million up front. And guess what? If they go on strike, that money's in the bank.
Yeah. He's Canadian-born player. He's stayed home. Didn't do what a lot of Mets fans thought and, you know, turn that money down, hit free agency to come take Steve Cohen's money. All money ain't good money. Thanks for the call, Tony. 888-808-1019. You know, you said the word gluttony. That's one of the seven deadly sins. Gluttony is the overindulgence and overconsumption of anything to the point of excess. Is Juan Soto worth that contract? I remember saying on this radio station, wait, we're getting over $750 million. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I think it's ridiculous. No, Keith, that's what you got to do to sign the player. Well, maybe that's the wrong thing to do. Is he better than Ohtani? Is he better than Judge? Imagine, like, the Yankees paying him $760 million and he's performing like this. He wouldn't be, because he'd be hitting in front of Judge. But Judge, look at the numbers Judge is putting up as Judge. As the captain of the New York Yankees, as a father now, as a family man, a good guy, a leader, says all the right things in the media, does all the right things on and off the field. had loyalty to, you know, the Yankee brand and wanting that hat on and stayed there, actually took less. Didn't say, oh, well, the Padres are offering me more, so that's where I'm going. Sweepstakes over. Always going to the highest bidder, man. Money can't buy you love. Money is the root of all evil, as we talk about gluttony, one of the seven deadly sins. There is enough evidence to say maybe Juan Soto isn't that happy as a Met. There is enough evidence to say that he's pressing. His life has completely changed. The money that he's making is different. His teammates are different. The environment, right? I joked. I was like, well, you know, I'll even flip it. I won't even make the joke that I was making about, you know, guys, when you meet the girl that you saw on Tinder or Instagram or whatever dating apps you guys use now, and all her pictures look a certain type of way, and then you get around her and you meet her in real life, and she goes from being a 10 on your phone to a 4.5. Maybe this wasn't all it was cracked out to be so far in these first couple months. Maybe the chase is what made Juan Soto. The pursuit of always getting this big contract and being the highest paid player in baseball. Now that he is, he's got to settle in. It's going to take a while. It's not going to be immediate. It's going to be here and there. It's going to be Juan Soso. That's not my problem. You know, him not celebrating with Pete Alonso, that might be a little bit of jealousy and envy. Right? That might be a little jealousy and envy. You were so greedy and you wanted all of this money and you got it. But you can't buy Pete Alonso's production. You can't buy Pete Alonso's numbers. You can't buy what Pete Alonso's done in the clutch. Pete Alonso's actually benefiting off of you. You are the highest paid player in the sport. And they got to pitch you a certain way so you don't beat them. Here comes Pete Alonso ready to go. They've underestimated Pete Alonso, right? Because the whole offseason, who wanted Pete? There's no offers for Pete. Pete's got to go crawling back to the Mets and take whatever they give him. No, the Mets gave him good money. That's all Pete ever wanted. Hey, just pay me for what I'm worth. Pay me for what I've done. Make me the highest paid first baseman in baseball, and now I'm playing like the best first baseman in baseball. Ding. Paid Pete. He's been money. Cash. Juan Soto has been a waste of a lot of cash, haven't gotten the return on investment, because it's too much money for a guy that isn't a plus defender, and baseball will humble you. The same way I'm talking about Devin Williams, and now even though the Yankees want to get him right, and they can find the right spots for him and all this other stuff, baseball is hard as hell to be successful at. So Devin Williams can get right and still fail in a big moment because those other guys drive nice cars, and those other guys make millions too. So baseball is humbling Juan Soto. He got the money, got the big contract. Maybe it's not all it's cracked up to be a Met. Maybe the contrast of his experience as a Yankee last year and a Met this year, maybe there are, how would I know? Maybe there are some little things from travel, from the medical staff, from whatever. And it was hilarious to me how it was all sold as like, oh yeah, this is a family environment. This is the best for my family. Your family's not on the field. You have to become family with the guys in the clubhouse. You have to become family with your teammates. And there can't be any envy or jealousy, right? It's got to be all about the team. And so some will say, well, Juan Soto's played in two World Series. He's won one. He's been in the postseason big moment. It's regular season. Yeah, but the Mets have a lot of joy. They're good now. The Mets have a lot of players that are happy to perform and win. And Lindor is the captain and the leader. You can't be Lindor. Juan Soto, you went to the Mets thinking that was going to be your team and you'd be the face of the franchise. You're an understudy to Lindor and Alonso. And it's funny because they're benefiting off of hitting in front of you and behind you. Pete Alonso is the face of the franchise, the polar bear, and he's shining. His numbers are much better than yours. And what Lindor embodies, what Lindor is as a leader and as a person, like you can't be him. So, yeah, that's the long and short of what I'm observing. And there's so many opportunities that Juan Soto has had now to be Juan Soto that, like, I watched him as a Yankee. When those opportunities came, oh, you're moving your seat closer to the TV. You just know it's inevitable. It's about to happen. He hasn't been able to make it happen for the Mets.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nimmo was in there at DH. Outside of that, I don't need to go over the whole thing. Lindor, Soto, Alonso. Luis Torrens is batting fifth today.
Wow.
Catching and batting fifth behind Nimmo. You got Beatty in there. It is actually an interesting lineup. Acuna at second base. McNeil in left field. And Tyrone Taylor batting ninth. Senga is on the mound. But Nimmo at DH. I am surprised that he's even playing. I was surprised that he was in the game last night. Here's my issue with Nimmo. He's been awful, and he looks like he needs a cane.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two bad things. He had one monster game with two home runs and nine RBI. Take that away.
Yes.
He's had an awful year. I don't get it with Nimmo. This was supposed to be the year. Last year was supposed to be the year. All right, this is supposed to be the year. And again, it's not there. At some point, he is what he is as a player. And I see some still quality at bats. I still believe in him, BT. But again, it's 40 games in now. Brandon Nimmo looks like a guy who is closer to the end than he is in the prime.
He does. And this goes back to last year, Sal, as you well know. Remember, he basically had a horrendous finish to the season. So we could say it's 40 games, and that's true literally, but it's also a continuation of last year's demise, which was pretty stark. Obviously bouncing around between the Yanks and the Mets. I mean, the Mets started late last night, but I had the Yankees on rewind, whatever. So I'm doing my jungle last night, and I happened to see the Nimmo play live.
Right.
And I'm like, first of all, I thought he tore his ACL or his Achilles. Like, I could tell right away it was a knee, not the Achilles. But though you don't see a major leaguer, you don't see a professional athlete go down that gingerly, that benignly. Like, he didn't step on somebody's foot, didn't step on a base. I'm like, did he step on the crease of the grass that meets the warning track? I'm like, eh. And I'm like, there's no way he's staying in this game. Like, didn't you? You thought he was absolutely
100%
coming out, right?
I thought he was coming out.
Me
I think
too.
Everybody watched it thought he was. He looked like he couldn't move.
No, maybe the Mets need to.
He's got to be the DH. He's got to be a DH.
Yeah, but if he's not hitting well enough,
I would justify have bench / DH. You can't put him in the outfield anymore.
I know. And what I was going to say was, you know, out of respect to Nimmo, who's a grinder and, you know, really plays with purpose and pride, and we all respect that, man. I think the Mets might have to save him from himself. And that might be, hey, you know, hit the IL. You know, you're sitting out 3 days. Like, he just doesn't look like a professional athlete sometimes.
Problem is, he's never been the smoothest of guys. The way I always describe him, and I told you this, I don't know if it was on the air or off the air, this is since the beginning. He's always reminded me of a baseball player who is an actor in a baseball movie.
Yeah, there
like
you
the
go.
Movie 61.
Yeah.
Like the actors
good
who
call.
Play in that movie, that's to me what Brandon Nimmo looks like. So he's never been smooth. Now, he did a great job in center field a few years back for the Mets. I never thought he was going to be a capable outfielder, let alone center fielder. He's not a true center fielder. He's not graceful. He's not athletic. I like his at-bats. I like his attitude. I like his hustle. All those things. But he just looks hobbled. He looks beat up. And he's not that old. So I would be looking to preserve his body as much as I can. Now, the Mets are without Jesse Winker for an extended...
Gone for months.
Also, Winker is not... He can't field, so he's a left-handed DH, which is essentially what Nimmo should be. So, the Marte, who's limited... I know there's only a one-year thing here, but I think the Mets need another outfielder. I can't rely on Jeff McNeil to be that guy. They're banged up in center field without Jose Siri, who was supposed to be their center fielder. They need another outfielder desperately.
Do you wait? How much do you wait to see how this thing shapes up?
I mean, they haven't been playing good ball. The division lead all of a sudden starting to dwindle a little
bit. Braves are
game
a little bit better.
Braves are game under 500 now.
Things
so
are changing a little bit.
I wouldn't go nuts as far as the standings go or any panic like that, but just it is one clear need to me. The Mets are going to need a real outfielder.
I agree with that.
Whether he could play center, I mean, that would be helpful, but certainly somebody who could be a good outfielder in left field or center field,
mm-hmm.
and just then let Nimmo DH and maybe have Winker have a lesser role on this team even when he comes back. Otherwise, what are you supposed to do?
I don't love the lineup, but I didn't love it coming in. You know, I didn't think Pete would be this great. He has been, although I thought he'd be good. I thought Soto would be better, and I thought Lindor would be really good. You know, Nimmo, I have not been high on him for a while. You know, Winker's a good energy guy for the lefty stick, whatever. All right, that's fine. You know, Alvarez missed a ton of time, and he's got a good backup, but, you know, not ideal. You know, third base, I thought it would be better, Vientos. You know, he's still kind of languishing hard at this point. Center field's a big question.
I think offensively, Vientos better. I worry about his defense, though.
I'm not bailing on Vientos. All I'm saying is he hasn't really done a whole lot yet this year. So, I don't know. I just think that the Mets offense, I think these are the kind of games today, where, much like the Yankees, that said the same thing. You know, you lose today, if you do. That's three straight series, and you know, that's generally what you want to avoid. But back to Nimmo very quickly here. You go back now, all right, condensed season. 2020, his on-base percentage was .400, which is phenomenal. Then it dipped a little bit the next year. Then it went down to .367, which is still very good. Then it went down to .323. Then it went .363. Then it went down to .327 last year. And now, right now, on-base is 27%. Like, that is a 6-year, some are very small, to be fair to Nimmo, 6-year decline of him getting on base, which I was always told was his best quality, because it certainly wasn't defense and stealing bases.
Yeah, one thing I do think, I was thinking about this last night, because I still trust him to give a quality at bat, but now Alonso's locked in, and given those same Soto-type at bats where you decipher a ball or strike or know the strike zone, well, that's going to be even more valuable once we eventually get to the robo-umps, which I think is probably not too far off. So those guys will still have value. Problem is, you can't have Nimmo project to be a DH, whether it be in the short term or next year. Soto eventually project to be a DH. Alonso, who knows what's going to happen with his future, but you be in the same spot as the Yankees. You don't want to have that. You need to have young athletic players or guys in their prime who could at least play some position. Vientos not great at third base. Like, at some point, the Mets are going to have to find some well-rounded ball players, and I'm not trying to minimize their start. I think they're a very good team, but if Nimmo can't play the outfield, now all of a sudden, you know, Winker can't play anywhere else. He's a DH. Marte is at this point a DH.
Oh, God, Marte. I mean, Acuna's got some good versatility.
I love Acuna. He's one of my favorite players on the team. So they have some good people. Lindor, obviously great. Acuna, great. Good up the need a center fielder.
Definitely.
And need either Nimmo to get healthy and be a capable left fielder, or just let him be DH. I don't even trust, even if Nimmo, let's say he's on the IL and rest for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Do you trust him when he comes back to stay healthy if he's playing the outfield regularly?
I don't know exactly what's wrong with him. Yeah. Is it chin
splints?
It's always
something. But
is it fasciitis? Like, he had a couple of things that were an issue last year, and he just doesn't look right. He doesn't look right.
With Winker out, I'd have him DH. That's what I would do.
What is your point? Yeah, no, I can get behind that. What is your point where, not that you're going to flip out, although that would be entertaining, but what is the point where you're like, all right, Vientos, let's go? I mean, he's hitting .220, and he's got a sub-700 OPS. I know it's early
that was
still.
Impressive against Gallen.
He's got three, four home runs. He's not, like, he was supposed to be. I was saying he should be batting second in between Soto and Lindor.
I know. I think he's looked better as of late. Now, again, I mean, you want to see him start really getting going. What are the numbers again? What'd you say he's hitting?
He's hitting .220 on the year with four homers, 15 RBIs, and a 671 OPS.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be better.
Yeah.
I mean, well, we're now not within, you know, the 20 game. Oh, it's only 20 games.
No, it's not.
It's almost Memorial Day.
It's almost 40.
A couple weeks away from Memorial Day, which, as you know, is the first real benchmark
of
the baseball season. All right, here we go. So, but I think he'll be fine. I'm not worried about him yet.
I think he'll be fine, too, but my expectation was that he'd be really good. Like, there's a difference between being good and fine.
And
you guys need him to be good for the situation and the circumstances we just explained.
And the Mets are a few bad weeks away. I do think today's an important game.
Like
you mentioned, to win a series here, stop the bleeding, so to speak.
Yep.
But the Mets are a few bad weeks away, and a lot is going wrong as far as the health goes, and that happens throughout the course of a season. But now it's starting to be coupled with losing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look up in a couple of weeks and all of a sudden the Mets are looking up at the Phillies or the Braves, and they're still banged up, and Soto's not performing to the level you expected, and Vientos isn't, that's where you're going to start to see. Forget about what I would do.
Yeah.
That's where the calls are going to start to come in, and people are going to really start to worry about the Mets or go nuts about the guys who have been given a pass so far because they've been winning.
I think it's too early, to your point. It's too early. I think it's unfair to the Mets. Outside of the past 10 days, the Mets have played very good baseball. Starting pitching's been good. They've been clutch, and they looked sharp. They've earned a little grace period here. But, yeah, I mean, you don't get a grace period for the whole summer, so... Yeah, they got to wake up, and this is the kind of game. If like, you know, when you lose series and if you keep losing them, that's the difference. I'm not saying they're an 87-win team, but that's 87 wins versus 93, 94. You want to see them stomp this out today. Get the win.
And they're going to try to win a series for the first time since the Philly series. It's been a while. They are 5-7 in their last 12 games, so it's been a mediocre stretch since the Philly sweep. And I found myself, Tiki, criticizing Carlos Mendoza more over the last couple of days than I think I have all of last year.
Is it because of lineups?
It's a myriad of things, Teak. It's a myriad of things. But let's start with the lineup since you brought it up.
Yes.
I don't have an issue with playing Starling Marte, giving him a chance to play every day and maybe take hold of this DH role with Jesse Winker out. He cannot be the cleanup. And last night...
Why is he the cleanup hitter? I don't understand it.
I guess the argument would be, who else should be the cleanup hitter? Well, to me, it would be anybody but Starling Marte
Vientos, right? Hasn't he been pretty good at the cleanup hitter?
Brandon Nimmo, Vientos. Honestly, take your pick. And his at-bat he had last night after the bases loaded walk was arguably one of the worst at-bats I've seen since my Little League days when I used to do the exact same thing, is take three pitches in a row, they're all right down the middle, and I get punched out. So that's number one. Number two, Luis Angel Acuna has earned the chance to play every day. He earned it.
Right.
I didn't even think he should have been the everyday player out of spring training, but you know what? He outplayed Brett Beatty. Brett Beatty got sent down. Now I know Brett Beatty's back. Acuna brings a dynamic of speed, of defense. He's also had a lot of really good quality at-bats. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, what Mendy is doing, not that he cares, is that when you start that stiff Jeff McNeil over Luis Angel Acuna, and McNeil gives you your typical little weak pop-up to shortstop, weak pop-up to right field, and Acuna is glued to the bench, it causes more resentment towards Jeff McNeil than anything else.
Right. Well, they're both in the lineup today.
They are. That's a positive.
That's a positive.
But that leads to negative number three.
Which is?
You know, I was told by Mendy... You know, it's early, got to manage for the long haul, which is why I disagreed with some of his bullpen decisions last week concerning Edwin Diaz and using high leverage guys. And he said, look, I got to think about tomorrow. I got to think about the day after that. Okay, fine. Then how is Brandon Nimmo not taken out of last night's game when it looks like he needs a cane to get around in the outfield after he messed up his ankle or his leg? And then today, he's in the lineup again at DH.
Right.
But you're sitting Mark Vientos. Like, Brandon, and I know Vientos has had his issues, because yesterday there was a double on a ball that literally went through his legs. Right. Don't get me started on that.
Right. He's a young player. Whatever. It happens.
But I'd rather him be the DH today than Brandon Nimmo, who looks legitimately injured. Right. And I get trusting your players, Teak, but take him out of the game last night.
It looks... I mean, he wouldn't be moving like that if he wasn't legitimately injured. So he is legitimately injured, but this is a... This is a toughness thing that Brandon Nimmo is saying, Skip, let me keep playing type of thing. You need me, et cetera, et cetera. I think the biggest challenge right now for Mendy is managing the like expectation of some of these younger players, and that's why he's saying to Luis Angel Acuna, look, there's going to be some days I sit you down. And
back-to-back days can't happen.
But it's not fair, but I get why he's trying to do that. He doesn't want to completely loaded on the kid's back. And I think maybe one of the reasons that he's doing that is his experience as the bench coach with the Yankees with Volpe. Because this is what the Yankees did to Volpe. Remember this. Like, he came up as a rookie, and it's no matter what happens, good, bad, ugly, whatever, we're not taking you out. We're leaving you in. You're going to play every day. And there's some mixed results on that. I don't know if it was necessarily a good thing for Volpe. So I think he's just trying to manage Luis Angel Acuna's expectations.
Well, but that's why I don't have an issue with sitting him a game, but he sat him in the first two games of this Arizona series. And that's what I have a problem with, because I think he's earned, if it's not every day, I get that, but it's most days.
Yeah.
And the problem is he's losing at-bats at the hands of Jeff McNeil. Mm. And Jeff McNeil, just for whatever reason, hasn't been the same guy since he won a batting title. And I'm sick of saying it myself. I even said it yesterday when I was trying to sell you guys on a Jeff McNeil for Devin Williams trade. I'm like, hey, Jeff McNeil won a batting title.
Yeah,
and it's like, okay, great. That was a million years ago.
And it's weird because at 33, you don't, like, that's not an age where you start saying, yeah, he's washed. It's not like he's 36 like Starling Marte. It's
right.
Not like you're saying, maybe it's just past him. It's just something's been off for 2 years, and it's hard to pinpoint.
Well, and the other thing is this. I trust Mendoza in that, and you mentioned it today. McNeil's playing left field. Acuna's playing second base. Mm-hmm. I trust that eventually, if this trend continues,
right,
of Acuna continuing to get better and better and better, he's going to be the everyday second baseman.
Right.
Like, there's going to be a day where maybe a month from now, we're laughing back at those days where he sat back-to-back games in Arizona. But it's frustrating in the moment that he's not out there just about every single day. So, I love Mendy. I still trust Mendy, but he's pissed me off over the last couple of days.
Wow, that's interesting. All that Mets talk and not one mention of the guy who, Yankee fans, you're going to stand up and turn and face the back of the stadium when he comes to Yankee Stadium and be silent for Juan Soto. No mention of Juan Soto.
You want
Soto.
Me to mention him?
Mention Juan Soto.
All right, here's what I'm going to say about Juan
Soto. He gets
Soto
on base. I mean, his on base percentage
Juan
somehow,
Soto,
unbelievably, is still close to 400.
I love how often Juan Soto gets on base. I do. It, like, it excites me because I want base runners.
But that's not exactly what you want from
Juan
Soto.
Well, I get to that, but I like that he gets on base. It's important, especially in front of a slugger like Pete Alonso.
And I got to tell you, I'm going to stop you for a second.
Yeah.
Something interesting happened last year when Juan Soto came to the Mets. Juan Soto comes to the Yankees. And Aaron Judge walks a ridiculous amount of times.
Mm-hmm.
Juan Soto comes to the Mets. Pete Alonso's only three walks behind him.
I know. It's crazy.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, I think it's Pete. It's more Pete than it is Juan, though. I understand your point. Like, Pete Alonso has made adjustments, and you can see it by watching him every day.
100%.
In which he's like a different human.
No doubt.
Like, he lays off pitches that are just a centimeter off the plate in a way like I've never seen. There's a stat called walk percentage, like the percentage of times you come up and you draw a walk.
Right.
His walk percentage this year is like off the charts, like on steroids.
Right.
So I think a lot of that is he worked his ass off this offseason. He's a different player.
But I'm just saying, is it a coincidence, which I don't believe in, but it's happened to Judge last year.
Yeah.
And now it's happening to Pete Alonso.
Well, I think what happens
is happening for him.
I think there's a myriad of reasons. I started with the compliment to Pete Alonso, which I stand by. Number two is he's so freaking dangerous, and you don't exactly offer him great protection. We talk about Soto's protection.
No, you're
what the hell's Alonso's? Last night it was Starling Marte. Like, that was the protection. Right. And some days it's Mark Vientos, and some days it's Brandon Nimmo. Brandon Nimmo has left more guys on base than any player in baseball this season. That's actually a stat, and it's true. And by the way, I looked it up. Not only has he left more guys on base than anybody in baseball, it's not close. Like, he's number one, and he's freaking Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
He is the Michael Jordan of leaving guys on base.
Right. And it's interesting last year with Judge, his walk percentage was not at an all-time high, but the number of walks was.
Mm. But he got more plate appearances.
More plate appearances.
Got up there more often.
133 walks he had. I mean, 133 walks he had a year ago.
Yeah. But I think in the case of both players, it's who's next.
Yeah.
And we've talked so much about Juan Soto's protection. The reality is Pete Alonso's got no protection. There's nobody hitting behind him.
Right. Which is why you're so upset about the cleanup spot.
Well, it can't be Starling Marte.
Yeah.
Like, I know there aren't great options. Brandon Nimmo's not a great option because he leaves a country on base every day. Mark Vientos, I get they're not great options. But you know who's not an option? Starling Marte. That's all I'm saying. But to Soto, because I know you want me to rip him. Is that what you're trying to get me to do?
No, I just want you to comment on
Soto. Oh, no, I'm gonna comment and I'm going
to
rip him.
You don't have to rip him because he's...
Well, I'm being honest.
He walked twice last night. He got on base. It is what it is.
I love that he draws walks. It's fantastic.
It's better to draw walks when you're in a slump, and now it's getting slump. It's not like just a little blip because it's been basically a whole season. It's better to draw walks than to go sit back in the dugout.
Well, of course. Get on base.
Right.
And you create opportunities. Like the walk he drew yesterday in front of Pete Alonso, and then Pete drew a walk, led to a Met run. It was their only freaking run.
Right.
So I love that. And I love the fact that in a way he is slump proof, because even when he is slumping like he is right now, you can still get on base twice in a game. So I appreciate that about Juan Soto. I don't want that to be dismissed. For whatever reason, in big spots, he has come up small every time.
Mm.
And I don't think it's mental. I think it's actually just a coincidence. Like, I think sometimes that's a lame answer. It's maybe not what people want to hear. You want something sexy, like he's pressing, or he hates the Mets and wishes he was a Yankee, or whatever cockamamie idea you want to come up with. I don't think there's a reason other than it's just been bad luck. Because, look, he had a home run the other day with guys on base. The problem was the center fielder climbed the fence and caught it.
Right.
I'm just saying, it feels like every time he comes up at a big spot, He's just not coming through. I think it will change, and I know when it's going to change. Mm. It's not going to change this afternoon in Arizona, though I wish it did. It's not even going to change this weekend against the Cubbies at Citi Field. I wish it did. It's not even going to change next week against the Pirates. It's changing when you turn your back to him on Friday night. In fact, I give you a long-term prediction. Francisco Lindor is going to swing at the first pitch. Talking about Friday night at Yankee Stadium. I want you to pay attention, Tommy, because you're not going to see this. You're going to be watching the Knick game. Actually, no. The Knicks are going to lose in five. I forget it. You'll be right next to me. We'll be next to each other.
I will be on my way to Madison Square Garden for games.
Okay, sure. Whatever you say. Tommy's going to be right next to me. You're going to be next to me, and then Sean's out in the outfield, right?
Yeah.
Francisco Lindor swinging at the first pitch, base hit to right field. That first pitch. Juan Soto is going to get ahead of the count 3-0 because they're going to be like, screw it. We'll go after Pete. He's going to swing 3-0, and I'm telling you, this ball will not land for a month. Right field.
I appreciate that.
Bomb!
Because the one guy I want to see swing 3-0 is Juan Soto.
Damn right. I think you're going to get it. Juan Pacheco Soto swinging 3-0, and that's going to be his moment. I know it's the first inning. It's early. That's going to be the moment of, So that's where I'm at with Juan. I love that he gets on base. I'd love for him to get a big hit one day. I think the big hit's coming at Yankee Stadium, and then I think he's going to torture you all weekend. That's my prediction.
And we won't boo.
And you still, you'll be the one guy left not booing.
You know what would be actually hilarious? Yeah, if he hits one in the moon, let's go.
That's not funny enough for you?
No, because he needs a Yankee Stadium home run.
You mentioned earlier, BT.
Yeah.
That the game that we had scheduled for a while now, this is dating back to December, that Mitchell and Fort Lee said, you guys are in, May 16th.
Did Soto he bring that up the night that we went to Saturday night's main event? Was that the night that he actually brought it up to us?
Yeah, in December, Hoff and I were driving with him. He drove us to the event on the island. We met you there.
Yes.
And that was the night that we brought it up. I talked to one of his friends who has the season tickets with. He's like, we'd love to have you guys. Okay. So we went and rearranged it. He got more tickets so we could get Hoff involved. So this has been a long time in the making.
It has been.
And you said, in case anybody missed it, in case you missed anything, check it out on the Free Odyssey app, you had said because the Knicks play a Game 6 or are scheduled to play a possible Game 6 against Boston, that if a Game 6 does take place, you no longer want to go anymore to the Yankees and Mets opening game there, that Subway Series game that Friday night, the return of Juan Soto. Mm-hmm. Now, with that, I've already had people hit me up saying that they would take your spot.
I'm
going
to need some names before. I'll play the game here, but I'm going to need some names to try to jump in my spot
the
here.
The first one was Hector in Washington Heights. He was all
I like Hector. Okay, who else? And then Mitch, are there station people or no?
No.
Okay,
no
that doesn't bother
me. I think actually C-Mac might be going already.
Okay.
So there's a good group of people going already.
Mm-hmm.
Then Mitchell himself said, hey, I heard BT doesn't want to go, and you may not be.
Well, that's not a fair characterization. BT doesn't want to go.
And then he goes, you may not want to go really either. Let me know. I'll sell the tickets. So Mitch, because he could make.
Maybe Mitch lost a couple bets. He's trying to get some money back. It doesn't seem like he wants to go anymore. He's trying to sell everybody's tickets.
He could make good bank on that.
Yeah, he could.
But you could. I think the challenge should be to you, test your belief in this Knicks team. If you truly believe there is going to be a game six.
Okay.
Now, maybe you wait for after tonight. Maybe at some point this week you make that decision. When is game three? Saturday?
Saturday, 3:30.
Right. But when do you think would be a fair time to make a decision, being that the game is, it feels like it's still so long away. It's next week.
Okay. It is crazy that it's
right?
next week.
Right, Mets, Yanks, Soto next week? Oh man.
I'm actually going to the stadium a couple days after that with our town. We do a whole big thing. So I'm going to be at the stadium either way, that Tuesday, whatever.
I got to start getting out of some of these games. I haven't been yet to
the Yankee. I know. All right, though the weather's been awful. I'll give you the answer today. I don't need to wait. I'll give you the answer today. So I met Mitchell once.
Yeah.
I've spoken to him on the phone with the show a few times.
Yeah.
We were trying to get together on something else. I think it was, with the SUVs. Remember that?
Yeah,
for Cole's birthday?
Yeah.
So we were texting and stuff.
I think I've seen a whole game or something
Yep. Rather than one big party bus, I thought maybe I'll get a couple of big, but whatever. So I spoke to him then, but I met him once. So I've met Mitchell once. I've worked with you for almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
I have worked with Hoff, going back to the relationship with Tiki, for about 4 years here. I have been a Knick fan since Bernard King. Have fun. Give the tickets away. I ain't coming.
You're out.
I'm out. Knicks.
Now,
easiest decision I ever made.
Just,
I'm out.
Just let the record show.
I will not come back in.
The Knicks win in five.
If the Knicks lose in five or win in five, I will not say, oh, wait, I wasn't thinking clearly. No, I really want to come. I understand what I'm doing right now.
Did the Knicks give you an out to an event that maybe you didn't really want to go to anyway?
Why would you say that?
Well, because it's a hassle going in the games.
No, an event that I don't really want to go to is something that my wife drags me to. Not to go and have, you know...
Well, I was asking the question.
Surfsides with you hammerheads to watch the Yankees or the Mets.
I was just making sure, because even, like, I admit, like, oh, God, I don't really want to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a part of me...
Well, you wouldn't feel welcome in the Bronx?
No, not that. Although maybe that's a part of it. I just don't want to deal with that. But, like, going to a game on Friday, like, there's a lot that...
I've thought about that as well, but not to the point where it would dissuade me not to go. I know it's going to be nuts, man. I mean, like,
but you don't,
are you going to wear a Mets jersey, by the way? You have to.
No.
You're not.
1,000% not. I will not wear a Mets.
Why?
I just don't want.
Hoff, are you going to wear a Mets jersey?
I'm not looking to have to rock a Mets jersey.
He will. He's got the balls to do it.
I mean, I would, but I'm
interested. You're not either?
I've done it before. I've done it before many times. I don't think. It's the smart thing to do
to bring
more attention.
Now, we'd be fine there, but maybe walking out, going to the cars, still a little late.
No need to do it.
Okay, so.
Unless Soto sends me something himself, you know what I'm saying? Maybe then I wear a Soto jersey. I don't have a new Soto jersey. That would be the one that I would wear.
How about we start with getting Mendy on the show before Soto actually sends you a jersey?
I know it's not going to happen. I'm just saying.
All right, so, I get it. This is a risk, but this is a calculation on my part.
Yeah.
We're getting a game six. There's no doubt in my mind. So, now I'm not so sure I felt that before they won the other night. It's going to be a game six, which means I will be, and it's a night game, and it's a Friday night, which means I will be in my backyard with my son, and hopefully my Jen and my daughter as well, probably after baseball practice, and I'll have a fire pit, and I will be watching the Knicks on my glorious outdoor TV, looking at my arborvitaes every time Jalen Brunson sticks a three in Tatum's face.
All right, so you are officially
out. I know what I'm leaving on the table, dude, and I know I could get burned, but I'm a Knick guy.
You don't feel any loyalty to or the commitment to Mitch and went out of his way?
I do. I do. That's why I said if he needs me to pay him, I will.
You know, Mitch, he helped me move some couches not too long ago. He brought the Christmas. Yeah.
No, he didn't. You didn't tell me about this. I know about the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
What happened with the couches?
I needed help moving the couches. We got a new furniture set or whatever. It was a few weeks ago. And I was like,
this was after the Christmas tree?
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, okay.
Well, you can't abandon him. I mean, he's basically your servant. I'm just kidding, Mitch. He's a great guy. I know he's so well intentioned, and I really do like him. And I met him. He's a sweetheart. This is the Knicks, dude.
And now maybe we trade a Yankee fan. As you have pulled out of this event, May 16th, for a Mets fan.
I don't know if that's allowed. I'm going to have to get with Mitch here, and the other stipulation might be that I will give up that ticket no matter what, even if there's not a game six, but it cannot go to a Mets fan. That's going to be a stipulation.
I don't know if you have any say in the matter now. You have now pulled out.
I think that, you know, Mitchell might appreciate a text from me.
Yes, I'm sure he would.
I think he would be
maybe a call on the way
pretty
home.
Good about feel pretty good about that. Tickles fancy a little bit. Let him remember what's going on here.
Say thanks, but
I didn't even think about it. Like that does matter. Like to me, because I'm so loud, and like Hoff is loud, and you're loud, but I can't let three Mets fans.
I'm not going to be loud and rowdy at the game.
I
don't get that in me. I mean,
I wouldn't be cursing at Soto, but you don't, dude. Can you imagine walking to our seats?
I might be cursing at Soto. I mean, you might.
But think about this. Like, I think you're under this illusion that like we're going to be living in this cloak of anonymity. Like, if we go, I guess you're still going. We would be besieged, whether it's people who love you and hate you or love me.
Yeah.
And this Soto Met Yankee dynamic. You think we're just going to especially watch the game and go home?
Especially in right field right there.
Don't forget about it.
Yeah.
Go to the bathroom, go get a beer, go get food. It's just, we're going to be crazy.
Oh, you're going to be home watching the Knicks.
Game six. Win.
Subway Series, return of
Soto. I've seen a million Subway Series.
I've seen plenty of game six, unfortunately, for the Knicks.
I've also seen a
20 years
I know,
ago.
I know, I know. Hey, by the way, I've also seen a lot of opposing right fielders hitting .246.
Nothing
I haven't seen, buddy.
There you go. All right. BT, I'm hoping to catch a home run ball from Soto, although he doesn't hit those wall scrapers. When he actually hits them.
Usually Oppo.
Yeah.
Now, I will be totally honest here. it hurts that I have to do this. I hate that I have to do this.
All kidding aside, from a sports fan perspective, it does suck that we have two.
You're not going to watch the Knicks game. You can tell me. I know you're going to try.
No, if I
you're not going to enjoy it.
If I go to the game, I'm not going to be able to watch the Knicks game the way that I would want to watch
it. I cannot function like that. Not with a Knicks playoff game. No way. Not in round two.
I'm big
no
on that
way.
With football Sundays. Like, that's why postseason baseball or September baseball.
Mm.
You know, I never like, I used to go to the end of, like, I remember the Mets game where they closed out Shea Stadium in 2008. Like, if it happens to fall on a Sunday, it sucks because you're missing a football Sunday, which is so special.
Yep.
But,
well, it used to be special.
But playoff, around here. Exactly right. But playoff baseball, to me, playoff baseball, not regular season, playoff baseball trumps that. Yes, a playoff baseball game, a playoff basketball game should trump any regular season game. This is the ultimate one that puts it to the test. Soto's return.
Dude, they're either up, if this happens, they're either up 3-2 or they're losing 3-2. They're either going to move to the conference championship or their season's over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not game one.
I get it.
Even if it was game one, I'd say.
I got to honor my commitment.
You don't have to. I'm not.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to.
Exactly.
I was never under the illusion, even when they got up to the best start in baseball, that the Mets were going to run away and hide and, you know, win 103 games. I think the Mets are good, but I think the Mets, pretty much like every other team, has some issues. And I think theirs are maybe less pronounced than some of the other good teams around baseball. But their bullpen's becoming an issue. And, you know, I don't overreact to losing a couple of the series. Now, you want to milk this in the early stage. You don't want to have it morph into something that becomes more problematic because you got the Yankee series coming up. And now you got to go, I think it's going out to, where they're going out to Arizona, who just, they were just in Queens, the D-backs were. They beat them twice. And obviously the rain delay, not ideal. You know, losing twice over the weekend, twice, you know, yesterday, getting swept. I just think that the Soto stuff was a little overblown. I mean, very easily would have had a big home run. It was a nice play. He was over the fence. He hit a lot of hard balls. I mean, some of his exit velo numbers are ridiculous. 113, 111, 107, 109. He's absolutely smoking the ball. Oh, what was the stat? God, I heard this. Hold on. Okay. Was this the number? The batting average for Pete Alonso on balls that were hit over 100 miles an hour is right now 700. Okay. Juan Soto's batting average for balls that are surpassing the 100 exit velo level is 400. That's 300 points. So what does that mean? A little bad luck, which is kind of what I've been saying. It doesn't mean that you got to love his start here. I get it. And he's going to probably, when it's all said and done, you know, the numbers are going to look a little lagging based on what you thought you were going to see year one in Queens. But I don't think it's been quite as bad as some of you have made it out. A little frustrating, yeah. Not as bad as maybe some people think. But I also don't think the Mets are as, you know, unstoppable maybe as some of you think. I think they're a good team. I think they're a playoff team. I think they're a well-managed team. And it's a great start for Pete, who, by the way, player of the month. How about that? All the stuff with Pete, having to wait. Is he going to stay? Is he going to go? What's going on? And Pete comes out and he just has, I mean, if Aaron Judge wasn't in the city, I mean, Pete would steal every headline the way he's played so far. He's been terrific. And then, you know, the thing with him is, all right, 2 years. I see. I don't think that there's anything that he can do that's going to really change. I don't think the ability for him to get that deal that he wants to get from the Mets, maybe it convinces somebody else around baseball. I think they're pretty rooted in how they view him. Stearns, maybe less about Cohen, because Cohen's probably more emotional with Steve, with Pete. But I don't think, even if he keeps this up, and I said going into the season and only felt better about this, I think Pete's going to be top three in the MVP. And I definitely believe that. And even if that happens, I don't think it changes what the Mets will do from contractually. But you know what? I don't really jump into that right now. They're looking pretty good despite the last couple of series. But it wasn't a great weekend for both teams. You know, you got to see some of the holes for both the Yanks and the Mets.